So today is our Welcome Back Sunday, and it's been Welcome Back for a whole host of reasons, hasn't it? The bands were great, it was nice to have some donuts and drinks before the service. But for some of you here this morning as well, today is the last day before you go back to school. Who here has got their new school bag ready for the term ahead? Has anyone got a new school bag? Lots of hands towards the back of the room. Dan there's got his hand up as well. Is there anything you're missing? There better not be from his mum. Fantastic. Well, today, I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes thinking about what it might mean to go back to school knowing that God is with you. And this applies to everyone here in the same way, in whatever circumstances you are in. Whether you are going back to work tomorrow after a weekend off, or maybe you're off to college or university shortly, perhaps now you're getting back to a social venture that you haven't done for nearly 2 years. How is it that we can live our best lives right now with Jesus walking alongside us as we go? And to help us think about that this morning, we are going to look at a story that we looked at as a church last May. And it's one of my favorite Bible stories from the New Testament. Today's story is all about a boat and some breakfast. You could all see them, right, couldn't you? You can all see the boat and the breakfast? No? Reuben, go and get me a boat. He's going to come back with a boat, I hope. Maybe. We'll see. What film is it? It's a film, isn't it? Jaws. You're going to need a bigger boat. That is quite a big boat. Actually, that's quite a big boat indeed. Good. Excellent. Reuben's got me a big boat. Lovely. Is there some breakfast in there as well? Amazing. Right. So we have a boat and we have some breakfast. Thank you very much. I'm sure you're going to be doing exactly this when you go off to university in a couple of weeks' time. Now, I'd like to imagine that you are some of Jesus' disciples sitting in a boat a little bit like this one. And in particular, I want you to picture yourselves as one of Jesus' disciples. Not that story. Who used to be fishermen. I'm going to stand up. Best laid plans and all that. Picture yourselves as one of Jesus' disciples who used to be fishermen before they started to follow Jesus. People who were just like Peter. As we pick up today's story, the last few days have been really intense. The disciples have been through a lot. Imagine yourself in this story. You've just seen Jesus be killed before your eyes. He was buried, but then in the middle of your grief and confusion, Jesus rose from the dead. Not only was his tomb empty, but he even appeared to you in an upper room of a house. It should all be incredibly exciting, right? But you're having a bit of trouble processing things. Now, you might be wondering why, if Jesus is alive, why did you, his disciples, end up sitting, or in my case, standing, in a fishing boat just days after his amazing return? Sure, Jesus is alive, but what happens next? Where is he? What remains of your lives now? Sitting in the boat with these questions, you, the disciples, decided to go back to what you knew. You went back to the life that you were familiar with. Because after all, you're fishermen. Fishing is what you know. And of course, being experienced fishermen, you yourselves know that the right time to go fishing is at dusk. And so, in the middle of the night, I'm not going to ask for the lights to be turned off. In the middle of the night, the disciples rowed out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee, which is more like a big lake. And they threw their nets over the side of the boat, ready to catch some fish. And hour after hour after hour, throughout the long, cold, dark, wet night, Peter and his friends tried to catch some fish. But each time they pulled their nets back in, they were empty. Where had all the fish gone? There was not even one. And finally, as the sun began to rise and the weary, cold, soaking wet, sleepy fishermen were resigned to the fact that things had not turned out the way that they had wanted them to happen. How do you think you would feel right now if you were in the disciples' position? I think you'd be pretty sleepy. You'd be pretty grumpy. You'd be frustrated. You'd be disappointed. And you'd be upset. The disciples cast out their nets in faith only to be disappointed. We've all been there, haven't we? I imagine the disciples one by one becoming increasingly pessimistic, losing hope, becoming frustrated at the lack of fish, but also at each other, feeling tired and hungry. And deep down, they were still missing their friend Jesus, who had united them all together on so many occasions. And just as they rowed near to the shore, they see a figure on the beach. And this guy shouts out, "Friends, haven't you any fish? Throw your nets on the other side of the boat, and then you will find some." On hearing this, the disciples did actually do what the man said. But I think they were probably thinking a few different things. Why are we trusting this man? What does he know? We're the fishermen, not him. So they went back out and they threw their nets on the other side. What do you think would happen? They've been out there all night and not one single fish has been found. Not one. And they've just thrown their nets out into the same place where there were no fish just a couple of minutes before. I think the fishermen, the disciples, were probably starting to think, how can this be? Why is he telling us to do this? There can't be any fish. We know what we're doing. We've been doing it right the whole time. We're the fishermen here. Who is this person to tell us how we should do our job? But the Bible says they did it. They threw their nets on the other side of the boat. And then it starts to happen. They start to pull the nets back in, and amazingly, this boat's very good for this, the boat started to tip. John 21, verse 6 in the Bible says this, that when they cast their nets, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. After a whole night of fishing, one man's instruction changes the whole story. The boat that was empty was now full. Not just of fish, but of some pretty excited disciples. The whole story changed. Hope and life restored, all through their trusting of one man's word. And when we read on in the Bible, John 21 verse 7 says that it's at this point they realize that the man who was talking from the side of the lake was Jesus. "It is the Lord," John says. And as soon as he says this, Simon Peter has the same realization. Of course, this has to be Jesus' doing. Peter and his friends could have never made that happen. Experience tells us Simon Peter was a terrible fisherman. But in that moment, they needed Jesus' help. They needed Jesus to guide them in the right direction. They needed a miracle. The disciples had tried and failed on their own, but Jesus made it possible. You know, guys, in our lives, there are so many things that we can't control ourselves. We've all experienced that over the last year and a half, haven't we? Through lockdowns, through schools closing, through furlough schemes, and so much more. There have been loads of times when things haven't worked out how we hoped that they would. And we find ourselves feeling disappointed, just as the disciples did in the boat. I wonder right now if you can think of just one situation over the last year when you have felt like that. But like the disciples, we can put our hope in Jesus, trusting that he will help us when we need it. Perhaps we've been trying and persevering in a situation. We might have even been praying and hoping about it, trying to keep trusting, but we haven't felt change yet. Maybe you're feeling tired today. Perhaps today you need to hear Jesus telling you to cast your nets once again, to keep going, to seek him for hope and strength, to keep going when the nets have felt empty for so, so long. As we heard at the very start of the service today, in Psalm 33, verse 20, the Bible tells us, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help." We can rely on him to help us today, just as he was able to help the disciples when they obeyed him that day in the boat. But this amazing story doesn't end there. It gets even better. The disciples, now all knowing who the mysterious man on the beach was, leave their boat on the shore and they go and sit with their friend once again to have some breakfast. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." How amazing is that? And Jesus has even prepared a fire to warm them up. Now, we can't have a real fire in here. There's health and safety protocols and the alarms will go off. But you might want to imagine warming up your hands against the fire that you can see on the screen now. Jesus had prepared a fire to warm them up and he cooked some delicious fish and bread. Imagine yourself back in that story again. After all you've been through, the God of the universe decided to cook you breakfast. Not only did he make them breakfast, though, he didn't just serve it to them. He went and he sat down with them and ate with them. Jesus was there, present with the disciples. He enjoyed their company, he listened to their chat, and he spoke with them in return. These were his friends, and he really, really loved them. I wonder if you realize this morning just how much Jesus loves you too. Jesus said to disciples, "Come and have breakfast with me. Come and enjoy my company. Come and be fed and nourished and loved." And he says the same thing to you right now. While the boat reminds us to hope in Jesus because he is our help, the breakfast reminds us that Jesus wants us to spend time with him, and he wants to spend time with us. Jesus wants to care for us. He wants to fill us up, and he wants to give us strength to keep going when we can't see a way through. Just like that big bowl of cereal is going to fill you up, ready for whatever is going to come tomorrow morning. I wonder how many of us here today need to accept Jesus' invitation to breakfast with him. Maybe it's even just tomorrow morning. I know for myself, I need to hear Jesus' words, to go and cast my nets out again. I need to sit with him, to be strengthened and to find hope once more. And maybe this is where you're at today. Perhaps you have seen your own place in this story. The good news is that the same invitation that Jesus gave to the disciples, this is the same invitation that he gives to each and every one of us this morning, to come to him, to enjoy his presence, and to be strengthened, going away from here knowing that we are loved and have reason to have hope once again. You are loved. You have reason to have hope once again. Jesus wants you to listen to him. He wants you to have hope in him. He wants you to trust in his goodness. And he wants you to spend time with him. As you go back to school, or wherever it is that you're going to this week, our prayer is that you will know the same loving presence of Jesus going with you. And just maybe, when you're eating your bowl of cereal or toast or whatever it is you have for breakfast tomorrow morning, quite possibly in a bit of a rush because you're way behind where you need to be, maybe take a moment to invite Jesus to be with you. Tell him what you need and let him come and fill you up in more ways than just the food in your tummy. We're going to pray together now. And I'd like to invite Sarah and Daniel, wherever they're hiding in the church, to come and join us, who are going to be leading us in some prayers. For those of you here who are heading off to school tomorrow, for those who are heading away to university, for those who are going back to their jobs that they've maybe not done for a while. And we're going to pray also for our world, the community that we live in, and everything that is around us. And we want to invite you to echo the last line of each prayer by repeating after Sarah and Daniel, "Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you." So if you want to come and use this microphone, hopefully it will work. Should do. We're going to pray together now. Let's pray.
Father God, we thank you today for every child and young person in our church fellowship. We pray for those who are starting nursery, primary, secondary, or home learning for the first time, along with our students starting college and university. May they know you care for them and are with them. May knowing that you are going back to education with God help them to settle in quickly. We pray, Father, that our schools would be places of learning, creativity, encouragement, and discovery for our young people. We ask that your peace and joy would fill classrooms, playgrounds, and lessons. Help them with every difficulty. We also pray that extracurricular activities might safely resume, and that through them, pupils will grow in skills, understanding, and friendship. Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you. Lord, show us our your love as we put our trust in you.
Father God, we pray for our head teachers, and support staff who work so hard to ensure that we thrive as pupils and reach our potential at school. We thank you for the support and encouragement they give us. We ask that you give them wisdom for the year ahead. Please remind them of the impact they have on the lives of so many pupils. We pray for those in our own church who work in schools in challenging moments. Please give them patience, energy, and a sense of your presence. Guide them by your Spirit. We pray that the staff room will be a place where words of encouragement and hope are spoken. Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you.
Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you.
Father God, we thank you for our service this morning, that we can come back together as one church family. You are trustworthy, faithful, generous, and kind. You are faithful even when things don't always turn out as we would want or imagine. Thank you for your incredible love. Forgive us when we doubt your goodness and wander far from you. For times we think we know best and don't listen to you. We are sorry, Lord. In our disappointments, failings, fears, and worries, draw us close to you. We pray now for those in positions of leadership and influence who make decisions at local and government levels. We pray especially for Christians who serve and work amongst them, and that you would protect them, that they would lead with integrity, that they would be influencers for good, and work in a way that reflects and honours you. We pray for those who have important decisions to make as we continue to navigate this challenging world. May your Holy Spirit guide them. Going forward, we pray that we would be a church where people of all ages can wrestle with tough questions, explore the Bible, and find out who you are. We pray for wisdom for our own church family as we support our local community, and we pray that you would stir us to compassion and stir us to action in our area. Help us to bring encouragement to everyone around us, to our children and young people, teachers, key workers, office workers, retired people, and everywhere else in between. And we pray that we would support everyone practically and through ongoing prayer. Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you. Amen. Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you.
Amen.